October 6th, St. Bruno. Bruno was born at Cologne about A.D. 1030 of an illustrious family. He was endowed with rare natural gifts which he cultivated with care at Paris. He became canon of Cologne and then of Reims, where he had the direction of theological studies. On the death of the bishop, the see fell for a time into evil hands, and Bruno retired with a few friends into the country. There he resolved to forsake the world and live a life of retirement and penance. With six companions, he applied to Hugh, Bishop of Grenoble, who led them into a wild solitude called the Chartreuse. There they lived in poverty, self-denial, and silence, each apart in his own cell, meeting only for the worship of God, and employing themselves in copying books. From the name of the spot, the Order of St. Bruno was called the Carthusian. 6 years later, Urban II called Bruno to Rome that he might avail himself of his guidance. Bruno tried to live there as he had lived in the desert, but the echoes of the great city disturbed his solitude, and after refusing high dignities, he wrung from the Pope permission to resume his monastic life in Calabria. There he lived in humility and mortification and great peace till his blessed death in 1101. Reflection. O everlasting kingdom, said St. Augustine, kingdom of endless ages, whereon rest the untroubled light and peace of God, which passeth all understanding, where the souls of the saints are in rest, and everlasting joy is on their heads, and sorrow and sighing have fled away, when shall I come and appear before God? October 7th, St. Mark, Pope. St. Mark was by birth a Roman, and served God with such fervor among the clergy of that church that, advancing continually in sincere humility and the knowledge and sense of his own weakness and imperfections, he strove every day to surpass himself in the fervor of his charity and zeal and in the exercise of all virtues. The persecution ceased in the West in the beginning of the year 305, but was revived a short time after by Maxentius. St. Mark abated nothing of his watchfulness, but endeavored rather to redouble his zeal during the peace of the church, knowing that if men sometimes cease openly to persecute the faithful, the devil never allows them any truce, and his snares are generally most to be feared in the time of the calm. St. Mark succeeded St. Sylvester in the apostolic chair on the 18th of January, 336. He held that dignity only 8 months and 20 days, dying on the 7th of October following. He was buried in the cemetery on the Adriatine Way, which has since borne his name. Reflection. A Christian ought to be afraid of no enemy more than himself, whom he carries always about with him, and from whom he is not able to flee. He should therefore never cease to cry out to God, "Unless thou, O Lord, art my light and support, I watch in vain." October 8th, St. Bridget of Sweden. Bridget was born of the Swedish royal family, A.D. 1304. In obedience to her father, she was married to Prince Ulfo of Sweden and became the mother of 8 children, one of whom, Catherine, is honored as a saint. After some years, she and her husband separated by mutual consent. He entered the Cistercian order, and Bridget founded the Order of St. Saviour in the Abbey of Wastein in Sweden. In 1344, she became a widow, and thenceforth received a series of the most sublime revelations, all of which she scrupulously submitted to the judgment of her confessor. By the command of our Lord, Bridget went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and amidst the very scenes of the Passion, was further instructed in the sacred mysteries. She died A.D. 1373. Reflection. Is confession a matter of much time or expense? Asked St. John Chrysostom. Is it a difficult and painful remedy? Without cost or hurt, the medicine is ever ready to restore you to perfect health. October 9th, St. Dionysius and his companions, martyrs, and St. Louis Bertrand. Of all the Roman missionaries sent into Gaul, St. Dionysius carried the faith the furthest into the country, fixing his see at Paris, and by him and his disciples, the sees of Chartres, Senlis, Meaux, and Cologne were erected in the 4th century. During the persecution of Valerian, he was arrested and thrown into prison, and after remaining there for some time was beheaded, together with St. Rusticus, a priest, and Eleutherius, a deacon. St. Louis Bertrand was born at Valencia, in Spain, A.D. 1526, of the same family as St. Vincent Ferrer. In 1545, after severe trials, he was professed in the Dominican order and at the age of 25 was made master of novices and trained up many great servants of God. When the plague broke out in Valencia, he devoted himself to the sick and dying and with his own hands buried the dead. In 1562, he obtained leave to embark for the American mission and there converted vast multitudes in the faith. He was favored with the gift of miracles, and while preaching in his native Spanish, was understood in various languages. After 7 years, he returned to Spain to plead the cause of the oppressed Indians, but he was not permitted to return and labor among them. He spent his remaining days toiling in his own country, till at length, in 1580, he was carried from the pulpit in the cathedral at Valencia to the bed from whence he never rose. He died on the day he had foretold, October 9th, 1581. Reflection. The saints fasted, toiled, and wept, not only for love of God, but for fear of damnation. How shall we, with our self-indulgent lives and unexamined consciences, face the judgment seat of Christ? October 10th. St. Francis Borgia. Francis Borgia, Duke of Candia and Captain General of Catalonia, was one of the handsomest, richest, and most honored nobles in Spain, when in 1539 there was laid upon him the sad duty of escorting the remains of his sovereign, Queen Isabella, to the royal burying place at Granada. The coffin had to be opened for him that he might verify the body before it was placed in the tomb, and so foul a sight met his eyes that he vowed never again to serve a sovereign who could suffer so base a change. It was some years before he could follow the call of his Lord. At length he entered the Society of Jesus to cut himself off from any chance of dignity or preferment, but his order chose him to be its head. The Turks were threatening Christendom, and St. Pius V sent his nephew to gather Christian princes into the league for its defense. The Holy Pope chose Francis to accompany him, and worn out though he was, the saint obeyed at once. The fatigues of the embassy exhausted what little life was left. St. Francis died on his return to Rome, October 10th, 1572. Reflection. St. Francis Borgia learned the worthlessness of earthly greatness at the funeral of Queen Isabella. Do the deaths of friends teach us aught about ourselves? October 11th, St. Taracus and his companions. In the year 304, Taracus, Probus, Andronicus, differing in age and nationality, but united in the bonds of faith, being denounced as Christians to Numerian, governor of Cilicia, were arrested and conducted to Tarsus. They underwent a first examination in that town, after which their limbs were torn with iron hooks, and they were taken back to prison covered with wounds. Being afterwards led to Mopsuestia, they were submitted to a second examination, ending in a manner equally cruel as the first. They underwent a third examination at Anazarbus, followed by greater torments still. The governor, unable to shake their constancy, had them kept imprisoned that he might torture them further at the approaching games. They were borne to the amphitheater, but the most ferocious animals, on being let loose on them, came crouching to their feet and licked their wounds. The judge, reproaching the jailers with connivance, ordered the martyrs to be dispatched by the gladiators. Reflection. Such is true Christian devotion. Neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. October 12th, St. Wilfrid, Bishop. A quick walker, expert at all good works with never a sour face, such was the great St. Wilfrid, whose glory it was to secure the happy links which bound England to Rome. He was born about the year 634, and was trained by the Celtic monks at Lindisfarne in the peculiar rites and usages of the British Church. Yet even as a boy, Wilfrid longed for perfect conformity in discipline, as in doctrine, with the Holy See, and at the first chance set off for himself for Rome. On his return, he founded at Ripon a strictly Roman monastery under the rule of St. Benedict. In the year 664, he was elected bishop of Lindisfarne, and 5 years later was transferred to the See of York. He had to combat the passions of wicked kings, the cowardice of worldly prelates, the errors of holy men. He was twice exiled and once imprisoned, yet the battle which he fought was won. He swept away the abuses of many years and a two-national system, and substituted instead a vigorous Catholic discipline modeled and dependent on Rome. He died October 12th, 709, and at his death was heard the sweet melody of the angels conducting his soul to Christ. Reflection. To look towards Rome is an instinct planted in us for the preservation of the faith. Trust in the Vicar of Christ necessarily results from the reign of his love in our hearts. October 13th, St. Edward the Confessor. Edward was unexpectedly raised to the throne of England at the age of 40 years, 27 of which he had passed in exile. On the throne, the virtues of his earlier years, simplicity, gentleness, lowliness, but above all his angelic purity, shone with new brightness. By a rare inspiration of God, though he married to content his nobles and people, he preserved perfect chastity in the wedded state. So little did he set his heart on riches that thrice when he saw a servant robbing his treasury, he let him escape, saying the poor fellow needed the gold more than he. He loved to stand at his palace gate, speaking kindly to the poor beggars and lepers who crowded about him, and many of whom he healed of their diseases. The long wars had brought the kingdom to a sad state, but Edward's zeal and sanctity soon wrought a great change. His reign of 24 years was one of almost unbroken peace. The country grew prosperous, the ruined churches rose under his hand, the weak lived secure, and for ages afterwards men spoke with affection of the laws of good King St. Edward. The holy king had a great devotion to building and enriching churches. Westminster Abbey was his latest and noblest work. He died January 5th, 1066. Reflection. David longed to build a temple for God's service. Solomon reckoned it his glory to accomplish the work. But we, who have God made flesh dwelling in our tabernacles, ought to think no time, no zeal, no treasures too much to devote to the splendor and beauty of a Christian church. October 14th, St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr. Early in the 3rd century, Callistus, then a deacon, was entrusted by Pope St. Zephyrinus with the rule of the clergy, and set by him over the cemeteries of the Christians at Rome. And at the death of Zephyrinus, Callistus, according to the Roman usage, succeeded to the apostolic see. A decree is ascribed to him, appointing the 4 fasts of the ember seasons, but his name is best known in connection with the old cemetery on the Appian Way, which was enlarged and adorned by him, and is called to this day the Catacomb of St. Callistus. During the persecution under the Emperor Severus, St. Callistus was driven to take shelter in the poor and populous quarters of the city. Yet, In spite of these troubles and of the care of the church, he made diligent search for the body of Colopodius, one of his clergy, who had suffered martyrdom shortly before by being cast into the Tiber. When he had found it, he was full of joy and buried it with hymns of praise. Callistus was martyred October 14, 223. Reflection. In the body of a Christian we see that which has been the temple of the Holy Ghost, which even now is precious in the eyes of God, who will watch over it and one day raise it up in glory to shine forever in his kingdom. Let our actions bear witness to our belief in these truths. October 15th, Saint Teresa. When a child of 7 years, Teresa ran away from her home at Avila in Spain in the hope of being martyred by the Moors. Being brought back and asked the reason of her flight, she replied, "I want to see God, and I must die before I can see him." She then began with her brother to build a hermitage in the garden, and was often heard repeating, "Forever, forever." Some years later, she became a Carmelite nun. Frivolous conversations checked her progress towards perfection, but at last, in her 31st year, she gave herself wholly to God. A vision showed her the very place in hell to which her own light faults would have led her, and she lived ever after in the deepest distrust of self. She was called to reform her order, favored with distinct commands from our Lord, and her heart was pierced with divine love, but she dreaded nothing so much as delusion, and to the last acted only under obedience to her confessors, which both made her strong and kept her safe. She died on October 4th, 1582. Reflection. After all, I die a child of the Church. These were the saint's last words. They teach us the lesson of her life, to trust in humble, childlike obedience to our spiritual guides as the surest means of salvation. October 16th, Saint Gall, Abbot. Saint Gall was born in Ireland soon after the middle of the 6th century of pious, noble, and rich parents. When Saint Columban left Ireland, Saint Gall accompanied him to England and afterward into France, where they arrived in 585. Saint Columban founded the monastery of Annagrae in a wild forest in the diocese of Bassancone, and 2 years afterward another in Luxeuil. Being driven thence by King Theodoric, the saints both withdrew into the territories of Theodebert. St. Columban, however, retired into Italy, but St. Gall was prevented from bearing him company by a grievous fit of illness. St. Gall was a priest before he left Ireland, and having learned the language of the country where he settled, near the Lake of Constance, he converted to the faith a great number of idolaters. The cells which this saint built there for those who desired to serve God with him, he gave to the monastery which bears his name. A synod of bishops, with the clergy and people, earnestly desired to place the saint in the episcopal see of Constance, but his modesty refused the dignity. He died in the year 646. Reflection. If anyone would be my disciple, says our Savior, let him deny himself. The denial of self is, then, the royal road to perfection. October 17th, St. Hedwig and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. St. Hedwig, the wife of Henry, Duke of Silesia, and the mother of his 6 children, led a humble, austere, and most holy life amidst all the pomp of royal state. Devotion to the Blessed Sacrament was the keynote of her life. Her valued privilege was to supply the bread and wine for the sacred mysteries, and she would attend each morning as many masses as were celebrated. After the death of her husband, she retired to the Cistercian convent of Trebnitz, where she lived under obedience to her daughter Gertrude, who was abbess of the monastery, growing day by day in holiness till God called her to himself, A.D. 1242. Margaret Mary was born at Thoreau in Burgundy on the 22nd July, 1647. During her infancy, she showed a wonderfully sensitive horror of the very idea of sin. In 1671, she entered the Order of the Visitation and was professed the following year. After purifying her by many trials, Jesus appeared to her in numerous visions, displaying to her his Sacred Heart, sometimes burning as a furnace, sometimes torn and bleeding on account of the coldness and sins of men. In 1675, the great revelation was made to her that she, in union with Father de la Colombière of the Society of Jesus, was to be the chief instrument for instituting the Feast of the Sacred Heart and for spreading that devotion throughout the world. She died on the 17th October, 1690. Reflection. Love for the Sacred Heart especially honors the Incarnation and makes the soul grow rapidly in humility, generosity, patience, and union with its Beloved. October 18th, St. Luke. St. Luke, a physician at Antioch and a painter, became a convert of St. Paul and afterwards his fellow laborer. He is best known to us as the historian of the New Testament. Though not an eyewitness of our Lord's life, the evangelist diligently gathered information from the lips of the apostles and wrote, as he tells us, all things in order. The Acts of the Apostles were written by this evangelist as a sequel to his gospel, bringing the history of the church down to the first imprisonment of St. Paul at Rome. The humble historian never names himself, but by his occasional use of we, for they, we are able to detect his presence in the scenes which he describes. We thus find that he sailed with St. Paul and Silas from Troas to Macedonia, staying behind apparently for 7 years at Philippi, and lastly sharing the shipwreck and perils of the memorable voyage to Rome. Here his own narrative ends, but from St. Paul's epistles we learn that St. Luke was his faithful companion to the end. He died a martyr's death sometime afterwards in Achaia. Reflection. Christ has given all he had for thee. Do thou give all thou hast for him. October 19th, St. Peter of Alcantara. Peter, while still a youth, left his home at Alcantara in Spain and entered a convent of Desalced Franciscans. He rose quickly to high posts in the order, but his thirst for penance was still unappeased, and in 1539, being then 40 years old, he founded the first convent of the Strict Observance. The cells of the friars resembled graves rather than dwelling places. That of St. Peter himself was 4 feet and a half in length, so that he could never lie down. He ate but once in 3 days. His sackcloth habit and a cloak were his only garments, and he never covered his head or feet. In the bitter winter he would open the window and door of his cell, that by closing them again he might experience some sensation of warmth. Amongst those whom he trained to perfection was St. Teresa. He read her soul, approved of her spirit of prayer, and strengthened her to carry out her reforms. St. Peter died with great joy, kneeling in prayer, October 18th, 1562, at the age of 63. Reflection. If men do not go about barefoot now, nor undergo sharp penances, as St. Peter did, there are many ways of trampling on the world, and our Lord teaches them when he finds the necessary courage. October 20th, St. John Cantius. St. John was born in Kenty, in Poland, A.D. 1403, studied at Krakow with great ability, industry, and success, whilst his modesty and virtue drew all hearts to him. He was for a short time in charge of a parish, but he shrank from the burden of responsibility and returned to his life of professor at Krakow. There for many years he lived a life of unobtrusive virtue, self-denial, and charity. His love for the Holy See led him often in pilgrimage to Rome, on foot and alone, and his devotion to the Passion drew him once to Jerusalem, where he hoped to win a martyr's crown by preaching to the Turks. He died A.D. 1473 at the age of 70. Reflection. He who orders all his doings according to the will of God may often be spoken of by the world as simple and stupid, but in the end, he wins the esteem and confidence of the world itself and the approval and peace of God. October 21st, Saint Ursula, Virgin and Martyr. A number of Christian families had entrusted the education of their children to the care of the pious Ursula, and some persons of the world had in like manner placed themselves under her direction. England being then harassed by the Saxons, Ursula deemed that she ought, after the example of many of her compatriots, to seek an asylum in Gaul. She met with an abiding place on the borders of the Rhine, not far from Cologne, where she hoped to find undisturbed repose. But a horde of Huns have invaded the country. She was exposed, together with all those who were under her guardianship, to the most shameful outrages. Without wavering, they preferred one and all to meet death rather than incur shame. Ursula herself gave the example, and was, together with her companions, cruelly massacred in the year 453. The name of Saint Ursula has from remote ages been held in great honor throughout the Church. She has always been regarded as the patroness of young persons and the model of teachers. Reflection. In the estimation of the wise man, the guarding of virtue is the most important part of the education of youth. October 22nd, St. Melo, Bishop, St. Hilarion, Abbot. St. Melo is said to have been a native of Great Britain. His zeal for the faith engaged him in the sacred ministry, and God having blessed his labors with wonderful success, he was consecrated first bishop of Rouen in Normandy, which see he is said to have held 40 years. He died in peace about the beginning of the 4th century. Saint Hilarion was born of heathen parents near Gaza and was converted while studying grammar in Alexandria. Shortly after, he visited Saint Anthony, and still only in his 15th year, he became a solitary in the Arabian desert. A multitude of monks, attracted by his sanctity, peopled the desert where he lived. In consequence of this, he fled from one country to another, seeking to escape the praise of men. But everywhere his miracles of mercy betrayed his presence. Even his last retreat at Cyprus was broken by a paralytic, who was cured by Saint Hilarion, and then spread the fame of the saint. He died with the words, "Go forth, my soul, why dost thou doubt? Nigh 70 years hast thou served God, and dost thou fear death?" October 23rd, Saint Theodoret, Martyr. About the year 361, Julian, uncle to the emperor of that name, and like his nephew, an apostate, was made count of the East. He closed the Christian churches at Antioch, and when St. Theodoret assembled the Christians in private, he was summoned before the tribunal of the count and most inhumanly tortured. His arms and feet were fastened by ropes to pulleys and stretched until his body appeared nearly 8 feet long, and the blood streamed from his sides. "O most wretched man," he said to his judge, "you know well that at the day of judgment the crucified God whom you blaspheme will send you and the tyrant whom you serve to hell." Julian trembled at this awful prophecy, but he had the saint dispatched quickly by the sword, and in a little while the judge himself was arraigned before the judgment seat of God. Reflection. Those who do not go down to hell in spirit are very likely to go there in reality. Take care to meditate upon the 4 last things and to live in holy fear. You will learn to love God better by thinking how he punishes those who do not love him. October 24th, Saint Magloire, Bishop. St. Magloire was born in Brittany towards the end of the 5th century. When he and his cousin, St. Samson, came of an age to choose their way of life, Samson retired into a monastery, and Magloire returned home, where he lived in the practice of virtue. Amon, Samson's father, having been cured by prayer of a dangerous disease, left the world and with his entire family consecrated himself to God. Magloire was so affected by this that with his father, mother, and 2 brothers, he resolved to fly the world, and they gave all their goods to the poor and the church. Magloire and his father attached themselves to Samson and obtained his permission to take the monastic habit in the house over which he presided. When Samson was consecrated bishop, Magloire accompanied him in his apostolic labors to Armorica, or Brittany, and at his death he succeeded him in the Abbey of Dole and in the episcopal character. After 3 years, he resigned his bishopric, being 70 years old, and retired into a desert on the continent, and sometime after into the Isle of Jersey, where he founded and governed a monastery of 60 monks. He died about the year 575. Reflection. Be mindful of them that have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end. October 25th, Saints Crispin and Crispinian, martyrs. These 2 glorious martyrs came from Rome to preach the faith in Gaul toward the middle of the 3rd century. Fixing their residence at Soissons, they instructed many in the faith of Christ, which they preached publicly in the day, and at night they worked at making shoes, though they are said to have been nobly born and brothers. The infidels listened to their instructions and were astonished at the example of their lives, especially of their charity, disinterestedness, heavenly piety, and contempt of glory and all earthly things, and the effect was the conversion of many to the Christian faith. The brothers had continued their employment several years when a complaint was lodged against them. The emperor, to gratify their accusers and give way to his savage cruelty, gave orders that they should be convened before Rictus Verus, the most implacable enemy of the Christians. The martyrs were patient and constant under the most cruel torments, and finished their course by the sword about the year 287. Reflection. Of how many may it be said that they labor in vain, since God is not the end and purpose that inspires the labor. October 26th, St. Evaristus, Pope and Martyr. St. Evaristus succeeded St. Anacletus in the See of Rome in the reign of Trajan, governed the church 9 years, and died in 112. The institution of cardinal priest is by some ascribed to him because he first divided Rome into several titles or parishes, assigning a priest to each. He also appointed 7 deacons to attend the bishop. He conferred holy orders thrice in the month of December, when that ceremony was most usually performed, for holy orders were always conferred in seasons appointed for fasting and prayer. St. Evaristus was buried near St. Peter's tomb on the Vatican. Reflection. The disciples of the apostles, by assiduous meditation on heavenly things, were so swallowed up in the life to come that they seemed no longer inhabitants of this world. If Christians esteem and set their hearts on earthly goods and lose sight of eternity in the course of their actions, they are no longer animated by the spirit of the primitive saints and are become children of this world, slaves to its vanities and to their own irregular passions. If we do not correct this disorder of our hearts and conform our interior to the Spirit of Christ, we cannot be entitled to His promises. October 27th, St. Frumentius, Bishop. St. Frumentius was yet a child when his uncle, Meropius of Tyre, took him and his brother Odysseus on a voyage to Ethiopia. In the course of their voyage, the vessel touched at a certain port, and the barbarians of that country put the crew and all the passengers to the sword, except the two children. They were carried to the king at Axuma, who, charmed with the wit and sprightliness of the two boys, took special care of their education, and not longer after made Odysseus his cupbearer, and Frumentius, who was the elder, his treasurer and secretary of state. On his deathbed he thanked them for their services, and in recompense gave them their liberty. After his death, the queen begged them to remain at court and assist her in the government of the state until the young king came of age. Odysseus went back to Tyre, but St. Athanasius ordered Frumentius bishop of the Ethiopians, and vested with this sacred character he gained great numbers to the faith, and continued to feed and defend his flock till it pleased the supreme pastor to recompense his fidelity and labors. Reflection. The soul that journeys in the light and the truths of the faith is safe against all error. October 28th, St. Simon and Jude. Simon was a simple Galilean, called by our Lord to be one of the pillars of his church. Zealots, the Zealot, was the surname which he bore among the disciples. Armed with this zeal, he went forth to the combat against unbelief and sin, and made conquest of many souls for his divine Lord. The Apostle Jude, whom the church commemorates on the same day, was a brother of St. James the Less. They were called Brethren of the Lord on account of their relationship to his Blessed Mother. St. Jude preached first in Mesopotamia, as St. Simon did in Egypt, and finally they both met in Persia, where they won their crown together. Reflection. Zeal is an ardent love which makes a man fearless in defense of God's honor and earnest at all costs to make known the truth. If we would be children of the saints, we must be zealous for the faith. October 29th, St. Narcissus, Bishop. St. Narcissus was consecrated Bishop of Jerusalem about the year 180. He was already an old man, and God attested his merits by many miracles which were long held in memory by the Christians of Jerusalem. One holy Saturday, in the Church of the Faithful, were in great trouble because no oil could be found for the lamps which were used in the Paschal feast. St. Narcissus bade them draw water from a neighboring well, and praying over it, told them to put it in the lamps. It was changed into oil, and long after some of his oil was preserved at Jerusalem in memory of the miracle. But the great virtue of the saint made him enemies, and three wretched men charged him with an atrocious crime. They confirmed their testimony by horrible imprecations. The first prayed that he might perish by fire, the second that he might be wasted by leprosy, the third that he might be struck blind if they charged their bishop falsely. The holy bishop had long desired a life of solitude, and he withdrew secretly into the desert, leaving the church in peace. But God spoke for his servant, and the bishop's accusers suffered the penalties they had invoked. Then Narcissus returned to Jerusalem and resumed his office. He died in extreme old age, bishop to the last. Reflection. God never fails those who trust in him. He guides them through darkness and through trials, secretly and surely to their end, and in the evening time there is light. October 30th, St. Marcellus, the Centurion, Martyr. The birthday of the Emperor Maximian Herculeus in the year 298 was celebrated with extraordinary feasting and solemnity. Marcellus, a Christian centurion, or captain in the Legion of Trajan, then posted in Spain, not to defile himself with taking part in these impious abominations, left his company, declaring aloud that he was a soldier of Jesus Christ, the Eternal King. He was at once committed to prison. When the festival was over, Marcellus was brought before the judge, and having declared his faith, was sent into a strong guard to Aurelian Agricolas, vicar to the prefect of the praetorium, who passed sentence of death upon him. St. Marcellus was forthwith led to execution and beheaded on the 30th of October. Cassian, the secretary or notary of the court, refused to write the sentence pronounced against the martyr because it was unjust. He was immediately hurried to prison and was beheaded about a month after, on the 3rd of December. Reflection. We are ready to die rather than to transgress the laws of God, exclaimed one of the Maccabees. This sentiment should ever be that of a Christian in presence of temptation. October 31st, Saint Quintin, Martyr. Saint Quintin was a Roman, descended from a senatorial family. Full of zeal for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, he left his country, and attended by Saint Lucian of Beauvais, made his way to Gaul. They preached the faith together in that country till they reached Amiens in Picardy, where they parted. Lucian went to Beauvais, and having sown the seeds of divine faith in the hearts of many, received the crown of martyrdom in that city. St. Quintin stayed at Amiens, endeavoring by his prayers and labors to make that country a portion of our Lord's inheritance. He was seized, thrown into prison, and loaded with chains. Finding the holy preacher proof against promises and threats, the magistrate condemned him to the most barbarous torture. His body was then pierced with two iron wires from the neck to the thighs, and iron nails were thrust under his nails, and in his flesh in many places, particularly into his skull, and lastly his head was cut off. His death happened on the 31st of October, 287. Reflection. Let us bear in mind that the ills of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory God has reserved for those who love him. November 1st, All Saints. The Church pays, day by day, a special veneration to some one of the holy men and women who have helped to establish it by their blood, develop it by their labors, or edify it by their virtues. But in addition to those whom the Church honors by special designation, or has inscribed on her calendar, how many martyrs are there whose names are not recorded? How many humble virgins and holy penitents? How many just and holy anchorites or young children snatched away in their innocence? How many Christians who have died in grace, whose merits are known only to God, and who are themselves known only in heaven? Now should we forget those who remember us in their intercessions? Besides, are they not our brethren, our ancestors, friends, and fellow Christians, with whom we have lived in daily companionship, in other words, our own family? Yea, it is one family, and our place is marked out in this home of eternal light and eternal love. Reflection. Let us have a solicitude to render ourselves worthy of that chaste generation so beautiful amid the glory where it dwells. November 2nd, All Souls. The Church teaches us that the souls of the just who have left this world soiled with the stain of venial sin remain for a time in a place of expiation where they suffer such punishment as may be due to their offenses. It is a matter of faith that these suffering souls are relieved by the intercession of the saints in heaven and by the prayers of the faithful upon earth. To pray for the dead is then both an act of charity and of piety. We read in Holy Scripture, it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from sins. And when our Lord inspired St. Odilo, abbot of Cluny, toward the close of the 10th century, to establish in his order a general commemoration of all the faithful departed, it was soon adopted by the whole Western Church, and has been continued unceasingly to our day. Let us, then, ever bear in mind the dead and offer up our prayers for them. By showing this mercy to the suffering souls in purgatory, we shall be particularly entitled to be treated with mercy at our departure from this world, and to share more abundantly in the general suffrages of the Church, continually offered for all who have slept in Christ. At the conclusion of the music, please go to side B.